Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Welcome to Felon Debrief, a weekly look at major criminal cases and investigations from across Australia. Each episode, we break down the latest developments in ongoing investigations, court proceedings, and cold cases. This week, we look at shocking crimes across Australia, from deadly road rage and gangland killings to attacks on police and unsolved murders that continue to haunt families and communities. A Logan man, accused of deliberately running down another driver during a road rage incident, has been found not guilty of murder. 24-year-old Umar Al Anizi was on trial in the Brisbane Supreme Court over the death of Troy Vandenberg, who was struck and killed on Wembley Road at Browns Plains in September 2021. Prosecutors alleged Al Anizi intentionally hit Vandenberg with his car after a series of confrontations between the two men, strangers who became entangled in a violent pursuit across Brisbane and Logan. The court heard the first incident began in Buranda when Vandenberg stopped in traffic, got out of his car, and accused Al Anizi of cutting him off. Over the next 30 minutes, CCTV footage captured the men travelling in the same direction, at times with Vandenberg chasing or kicking at Al Anizi's vehicle. Moments before the fatal collision, witnesses saw Vandenberg run toward Al Anizi's car, crossing several lanes of traffic and throwing a hammer at the windscreen. Prosecutors argued the driver then intentionally struck Vandenberg, but the defense maintained he acted in panic. Barrister Saul Holt said his client had faced bizarre and increasingly terrifying behavior from a stranger, describing the incident as a defensive response made in fear for his life. That person he swerved into was out of control. It doesn't make it a crime. It makes it a tragedy. After deliberating for several hours, the jury acquitted Al Anizi of both murder and manslaughter. He was released from custody on Monday as his supporters celebrated in court. Family members of Troy Vandenberg wept and quietly left the courtroom following the verdict. Al Anizi declined to comment as he left court a free man. The cyclist at the centre of a long-running controversy involving former Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has launched legal action against him. Ryan Mealman, who was 17 at the time of the collision in 2013, is suing Andrews and his wife Catherine, alleging they caused him serious injury after a crash more than a decade ago. The incident, often referred to as the Bike Boy scandal, has followed Andrews throughout his political career and prompted questions about the original police investigation. The collision occurred in 2013 when Mealman's bicycle and the Andrews family car were involved in an accident on Victoria's Mornington Peninsula. Victoria Police's handling of the case was later examined by the state's anti-corruption watchdog, IBAC, which looked into claims the investigation had been mishandled or that political influence had played a role. Details of the new civil proceedings have not yet been made public, but Mealman's lawsuit marks the latest chapter in a story that has shadowed the former Premier since his time in office. Neither Daniel nor Catherine Andrews have commented on the filing. Convicted triple murderer Erin Patterson is appealing her conviction, claiming there was a substantial miscarriage of justice during her trial. Patterson, who was serving life in prison with a non-parole period of 33 years, was found guilty of murdering her parents-in-law, Gail and Don Patterson, and Gail's sister, Heather Wilkinson, as well as the attempted murder of Heather's husband, Ian Wilkinson. If her sentence stands, Patterson will be 82 years old before she's eligible for release. Earlier this week, Patterson's legal team lodged formal appeal documents with the Supreme Court of Victoria. In those documents, she argues that the prosecution's 5-day cross-examination was unfair and oppressive, and that the Crown's closing address caused a miscarriage of justice by implying a motive for murder. despite previously saying there was no evidence of motive at the trial's outset. Her appeal also challenges several key pieces of forensic and circumstantial evidence, including cell tower data placing her in certain locations, sightings of death cap mushrooms near Loch and Outram, and testimony from several of her Facebook friends. Patterson's lawyers further argue that the court's decision to exclude photos and videos of mushrooms found on an SD card at her home, material they say showed a long-standing interest in foraging, amounted to another miscarriage of justice. The final ground for appeal alleges a fundamental irregularity in jury management, claiming jurors were placed in the same hotel as a key police witness and two members of the prosecution team. According to the documents, this fatally undermined the integrity of the verdict, and Patterson's lawyers are seeking to have her convictions quashed and a retrial ordered. The Court of Appeal has accepted the filing, but has not yet granted leave to appeal. A 37-year-old man is fighting for life after being stabbed while sitting in his car in Melbourne's southeast overnight. Police said the man and a woman were inside a vehicle on the Esplanade in Narre Warren just after 10:30 p.m. when they were approached by another man. It's alleged a 52-year-old man, known to the pair, stabbed the 37-year-old inside the car. The victim managed to drive away from the scene but crashed into another vehicle about 2 kilometres away at an intersection in Cranbourne North. He was taken to the Alfred Hospital in a critical condition. Residents told Nine News the area is typically quiet. The 52-year-old has been charged with intentionally causing serious injury. He is expected to reappear in court in February next year. A police officer is in serious condition after being stabbed in the leg with a sword in Sydney's southwest on Friday. Police were called to a home on Wurrumbee Road, Grasmere, around 5:20 p.m. following reports of a welfare concern and a breached apprehended violence order. Officers from Camden Police Area Command attempted to arrest 20-year-old Andrea Sarash, who allegedly threw a spear at officers before stabbing a 23-year-old probationary constable in the leg. Sarash was tasered and taken into custody, then treated at Campbelltown Hospital. The injured officer was treated by New South Wales ambulance paramedics and airlifted to Liverpool Hospital, where he remains in serious but stable condition, awaiting surgery. He suffered a 20-centimeter laceration and 2 tourniquets were applied to stop the bleeding. Superintendent Paul Condon praised the bravery of officers at the scene, noting the situation escalated quickly and was extremely confronting on body-worn footage. Several weapons, including a spear, hatchet, and a 50-centimeter sword, were seized. Sarage has been charged with 11 offences, including 2 counts of attempted murder, and was refused bail to appear at Parramatta local court on Sunday. A 44-year-old man has been charged with murder and coercive control over the death of Claire Austin in Sydney's eastern suburbs earlier this year. Ms. Austin, 38, died after sustaining a lacerated arm during an incident inside her Randwick unit on the 12th of April. Emergency services were called by neighbours concerned for her welfare. She was treated at the scene and taken to St. Vincent's Hospital, where she died a day later. Police treated her death as suspicious and launched Strike Force Lindock to investigate. Detectives arrested the man at a Little Bay home on Thursday. He was taken to Maroubra Police Station and charged with murder and intended abusive behaviour towards an intimate partner. Miss Austin, who recently moved to Australia from the UK, was a marketing and events executive. The accused is expected to front court on Friday. A Sydney man, Danny Zayat, has been found guilty of murdering his ex-girlfriend, Tatiana Dokotaru, in 2023. Dokotaru, 34, originally from British Columbia, Canada, was killed in her Liverpool apartment on the 26th of May, 2023, and her body was discovered the following day. Police said Zayat's 4-year-old son, present during the incident, witnessed the attack. Body camera footage captured Zayat returning to the scene about 21 hours later, claiming, "I shouldn't have left her. She's been so depressed." Witnesses, including Dokotaro's friend, Amber Haleta, who testified in court, reported prior domestic violence incidents and that Dokotaro had obtained a restraining order against Zayat in 2022. Evidence at trial confirmed she suffered multiple blunt force trauma injuries to the head. Zayat is expected to be sentenced for murder in December, with Haleta planning to deliver a victim impact statement. An inquest has confirmed that German backpacker Simone Strobel was killed in northern New South Wales in 2005. Though the identity of her killer remains unknown. State Coroner Teresa O'Sullivan delivered her findings on Thursday, the 6th of November. Simone, a 25-year-old schoolteacher, was last seen at a Lismore caravan park on the 11th of February, 2005. Her naked body was found 6 days later, concealed under palm fronds at a nearby sports ground. O'Sullivan rejected the 2007 inquest's very strong suspicion that members of Simone's travelling group were involved in her death. She also disagreed with previous conclusions about the cause of death, noting that neither Australian nor German pathologist could determine it. The coroner concluded that Simone was murdered by an unknown person or persons, likely outside the caravan park, and probably sexually assaulted beforehand. She recommended New South Wales Police carry out further testing on two unmatched DNA samples, a hair found on a fence, and male DNA from Simone's clothing. Tobias Moran, Simone's then boyfriend, was charged with her murder in 2022, but the charges were later withdrawn. He maintains his innocence. The case remains unsolved despite a dedicated police strike force and a $1 million reward offered in 2020. O'Sullivan acknowledged the immense trauma Simone's family has endured and expressed her condolences, saying she hopes the truth will one day be revealed. Roberta Williams, widow of Melbourne underworld figure Carl Williams, has spoken publicly about her late husband's death in Bowen Prison in April 2010. Williams, a notorious drug lord, was bludgeoned to death by inmate Matthew Johnson while awaiting trial as a key police informant. Roberta said the circumstances didn't sit right, noting that he was under 24-hour surveillance in Australia's most secure prison, yet guards failed to prevent the attack. She also expressed suspicion toward the prison's former governor, David Prideaux, who disappeared in 2011, though a coronial inquest found no link to Carl's death. Reflecting on her relationship with Carl, Roberta described him as quiet, reserved, very smart, and a devoted father, and criticized TV depictions of him in Underbelly. She spoke about the harsh realities of underworld life, noting the lack of loyalty once money ran out, and recalled close friendships with other gang figures, such as Andrew Benji Veniaman. Roberta Williams said Carl's sense of humor and love for family defined him, despite his criminal career, and remains deeply affected by his violent death. Police have charged two men, aged 19 and 43, with the murder of 23-year-old tradie John Versace, who was shot dead outside his Condell Park family home in May 2025. Versace, described by police as a hard-working young man with no known criminal links, was killed in what authorities called an extremely brutal and execution-style shooting in front of his parents. Authorities allege the 43-year-old staged vehicles and drove the shooter to and from the scene, while the 19-year-old assisted with planning and preparation. Neither of the charged men is alleged to have pulled the trigger. Versace's death was part of a series of shootings in Sydney since 2020, prompting the establishment of Task Force Falcon to investigate the city's underworld violence. Both men appeared in Bankstown local court and did not apply for bail. That concludes this week's episode of Felon Debrief. Be sure to tune in next week for another update on the latest crime news and developments shaping the country.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.